email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, did you know that 9% of the Irish population have registered for Parkrun? That's a good chunk of people. Every Saturday morning, 9:30, in over 150 locations around the country, people get out and join with other members of their communities and go for a little saunter around a park. Then they might have a cup of coffee and a bun or a biscuit afterwards. And it's a beautiful, lovely thing. And it's free. And it's not only in Ireland, it's all over the world. It is global. But it started in London and it was set up by a man called Paul Sinton Hewitt. And Paul joins me now in studio. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hello, Ray. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah. Listen, thank you so much. But thank you. And that's on behalf of all the people whose lives have been changed by Parkrun.
I'm standing on the shoulders of thousands and thousands of people. We know Matt and Ruth, who you know well. It wouldn't have happened in Ireland had he not knocked on my door all those years ago. And every single volunteer out there, they make it happen. That's where the real magic is.
Yeah, but let's get to your story.
Okay.
Okay. So how long is it going?
It's been going for 20 years now.
Right. Well, tell us about the inspiration for the first one and the first one.
Well, to be honest, it's a bit of a story. I don't know how much time we've got.
No, we've got a good bit of time.
When I was in my 20s, I was running in South Africa. I was a new road runner. And part of the setup there was you could do a time trial at one or two or three of the clubs every single week. And you just pitched up. It was always athletes. It was a race. And you didn't tell them you were coming. You ran the race. And when you finished, you handed your name in. And then you waited for the Sunday Times, the papers, to come out on a Sunday. And all over the country, these athletes were represented at the back of the Sunday Times. Uh-huh. And it was only about 50 athletes across the whole of South Africa. But it was something that was part of my running career. And I used to go to the time trial and do three before an A race. So I'd set a marker and then I'd beat it and then I'd go and beat it again. And I would extrapolate my speed over the kilometre for the 42 kilometer distance.
Right.
And that's how I would build myself up.
So cut to you in your 40s.
Yes, in my 40s, I'm struggling with my work situation. I've been running again and I've set myself a fantastic target, but then I've gone and got injured.
Right.
And the injury is so severe, my physiotherapist says, you won't be able to run for a couple of years if you ever run again.
How did that affect your mental?
Oh, well, what's missing from this whole story is the whole depression, the mood swings. That, I mean, throughout my whole life, I've had this. But the one thing I knew was if I went for a run, I would probably even those curves out. I could adjust how I felt about myself. And then, of course, sidelined with running, it's a downward spiral. And the one thing I knew at the time was that I wanted to be with running people. I wanted to be with my friends. They were the people who made me the most happy. And I wanted to be outdoors. So I felt what I would do is I'd set up this time trial that I'd experienced in South Africa.
Right.
I'd set it up in Bushy Park. I would not
We have a Bushy Park here as well. So Bushy
yes,
Park
I
in
know,
London.
Bushy Park, Teddington. I wouldn't ask anybody to help me because I wanted to fly under the radar. I wanted it to be very, very simple. And I advertised with my two clubs that were local. 13 people pitched up on that first day, and 4 people came to help me. I didn't ask them, but they came. And that's how it was to begin
with.
That
was the first one?
Yeah, there were 13 runners.
It wasn't called Park Run.
It was called Bushy Park Time Trial.
I'm interested to know because, you know, luckily, I've never been depressed, but I've spoken to loads of people and read loads of books about it. And one of the things is how difficult it is to do anything when you are depressed, and that fog that descends on your brain. So I'm interested to know how you sort of got out of that to do this.
Unfortunately, yeah. Right. You don't ever. I don't think it's something you can heal yourself from. So I'm 65. I've got a good life. I've done this wonderful thing called parkrun. I mean, if anybody looking at me would say, what reason have you got to have a mood swing? What reason have you got to be depressed? The last 20 years has taught me a lot about depression. I think we now know it's a mental health issue, and I've come a long way. What I can tell you is that when it descends, there's no obvious reason. And when it descends, the thing that you need most is people to talk to and activity. except when it descends, I refuse to talk to people. And I'm lethargic about the activity.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the exact stuff that you need, you're least likely to do it.
You refuse it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a terrible, terrible thing. I'm very lucky that I've got a very patient and wonderful wife.
Yeah.
And she has a health background. She worked for the NHS. And even sometimes I run into a roadblock with her where she's really frustrated with me because the things that she knows I need to do, I'm refusing to do.
Yeah.
And when she says, "What's wrong with you?" I just blank. I can't give an answer.
Mm.
And as I'm coming out of it, I'm able to say to her, "Oh, I think this might have been the reason." So it's a terrible, terrible thing. And
okay. So with Parkrun, you were a bit like an actor writing a movie with him as the leading man. Yeah. So you created it for yourself.
With hindsight, I can look back and say it was a selfish act.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But at the time, I wouldn't have acknowledged that. I wouldn't, if you had asked me, am I doing it for myself, I would have said no. I would have said I'm doing it for the people who are going to come and participate and I'm giving back and all that stuff. Mm. It's nonsense.
Yes.
The truth is, I did a wonderful thing, but I did it to help myself. I did it because I knew no other way to draw myself out from that place I was in.
And in that description of the first one, you've really described the benefits of parkrun.
Yeah.
It's connection and activity.
Outdoors.
Yeah.
Activity and
connection.
Community.
Yeah.
Those three things.
Pillars.
And it's taken us 20 years to work that out as well. So we became a charity about 7 years ago. And the act of becoming a charity was the act of deciding what we thought the purpose of parkrun was, which was to move away from athletics and to move to connections, outdoor activity, and mental health.
This is a wonderful global community initiative.
Yeah. Oh, it's way beyond my dreams.
Yeah. And you... was there a vision, or even when you look back at it, was there a hint of a vision, or was it just very much tunnel vision, if you like, you getting yourself better?
I'm a very process-driven person, and logic is what works with me. So I would say the first year, it was simply about doing my own park run. When we started the second one, which is 2 years later, then I started to develop a plan. Then it was about taking this wonderful thing out to wherever they wanted it. And every single year that I was involved with parkrun, I wrote a business plan.
Okay.
And it might not have stacked up, but it basically was something that gave me a vision for the future.
Yeah. I'm sure people have cited this before, but you know, Forrest Gump-like, you know, where you just ran and people followed.
Yep.
Yeah. And what moment, or was there a moment that you knew that this was... you know, this was unstoppable?
Well, I think when we did the second park run, I knew that it could continue. I knew the product was brilliant.
But even to call it a product is odd.
Well, it is. I mean, what you do, it's not. It's a movement.
Yes,
I know that.
Yeah.
But if you assess it as a business, the product is what happens in a park on a Saturday. Mm. And how that works is just magic, you know, volunteers, etc. I knew it would be difficult, but I knew if we could do it in two parks, then we could do it in four. And if we could do it in four, we could do it in 10. So that was that was the starting point. But I don't think I was clever enough to work out that we would be 2,500 parks in the world every single week, 400,000 people participating weekly. That was never... I would have been turned away by those statistics.
And of course, as always happens... statistics don't tell the real stories.
No.
You know, the people whose lives it has changed. And it's so unbelievably simple that people would go, there's no way that, you know, getting up on a Saturday morning and running around or walking around or whatever, trotting around a 5K is going to change your life.
No.
But it has. And you've been told all the stories, haven't you?
I've been told numerous times how this is the biggest intervention in health in the world. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, and I'm not really bothered. What I know is when individuals come to me and tell me that their life has changed through parkrun, I'm immensely proud. And sometimes those stories are incredibly moving. Other times, it's just natural. It's just, I found a community, I liked it, I joined it. it inspired me to do more, and now I'm an athlete or whatever.
Yes.
So everybody has a story, and some are unbelievable. But for everybody, it's a story of a wonderful environment that you can grow in.
And it's all inclusive, isn't it?
That's my key topic here. I mean, inclusivity is the key to what makes parkrun work.
Yeah. And that lovely, even that thing, that the person who walks behind everybody. So
Tailwalker.
So you're never going to be the last person. No. There's always going to be the tailwalker.
Yeah.
And the tailwalker, of course, is one of those hugely important volunteers that keep parkrun running all over the world.
Yeah.
And we've encountered them on our run with Rays, and thank you for setting it up so we can piggyback on the back of it. And they're amazing people. They give their home free of charge.
Yeah. Well, interesting thing, Rays, I never ever wanted to own anything. When I started Parkrun, every single thing that we built, we put out on the wiki to let anybody take it and use it for themselves. I didn't understand why it had to be me that created this thing that we take it across the world. Why doesn't everybody just create their own parkrun?
Yeah.
Because it's so simple. It's so effective. And it's about changing people's health and well-being.
So
why should I?
Yeah, well, there, answer that question then.
Well, I don't think I should. I think, I honestly think we are carrying on. We have a mission,
yeah,
and we're a charity. And so we have to balance our finances with our delivery and all that stuff. So that's fine. But I encourage anybody in the world to start their running group and to take it further and so on. We're not trying to be a monopoly.
Mm. Just for people who don't know the details, and I'm assuming that people have heard Parkrun, but they probably don't know the details. So you get a barcode when you sign up,
yep,
and you bring that with you on a Saturday morning. And then at the end of the run, people scan that in, and you can, if you're competing against yourself, because that's really who you're competing against, you can see your time then up on the website.
Yeah, we produce a result for every single person who's ever taken part in Parkrun, including the people who don't want to be registered. So we still have those records. But and then it's up to you to use that in any way you want. If you want to use it to help you improve, or you want to be the fastest person at a particular event, that's entirely up, yeah, to you. But we're there ostensibly to help you get around and to make sure that the experience is fun and exciting and that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it's, as I say, it's all inclusive, no age limit. Everybody is welcome. Mm. And I see, is it GPs in the UK,
yeah,
have the Parkrun Proactive Initiative. What's that?
So it's the GP Association in the United Kingdom and now in Ireland are encouraging their GPs to social prescribe parkrun as a thing. So obviously some people like me with mood swings, etc., going out and doing a little bit of activity is going to change. It can be any activity. And if it's with people, it's going to help. Mm. And so that's become a thing now. I think we're over 1,100 practitioners in the United Kingdom, and a few here in Ireland are now starting to social prescribe running.
Here's the thing that I didn't know until today, but per capita,
yes,
we are the biggest parkrun country in the world.
Yep, you're the most densely populated parkrun country in the world. It's a phenomenal story, and I think it comes back to who you are as people, the Irish people, what you stand for, how you interact with community, your love for people, your love for a crack.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. I think that it goes back to your history. So it is marvelous. I think we can do more. We can have more people participate.
Well, we've won over 150. I see the stats from last year. There were more than 500,000,
yes,
completed park runs in Ireland.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's phenomenal. Mm. Claire says, I'm 60 plus and can't run any longer, but when I'm free, love to volunteer at Ross Trevor Park Run, County Down. It's a great atmosphere and meet lots of fantastic people. Local GPs recommend it for people with depression, loneliness, etc. to get involved, help man the route, timekeepers, give out race tokens. There are so many jobs. Great initiative, says Claire. And you don't even have to walk or run to participate in the park run. You can always volunteer, a non-running, non-walking participant. That's another Claire in Tralee. And a very heartfelt thank you to Paul and all of the wonderful volunteers who make parkrun such an all-inclusive event. I am a visually impaired parkrunner and love it. More than 90 ran so far. Thanks, Paul. That's Tom in Sligo. And running, exercise and being with people can be a brilliant thing for your mental health as well as your physical health. There's no better way to start than the social setting of a park run at your own pace and in a friendly atmosphere. I was lucky enough to meet Paul at an event last night. What a wonderful thing he's created in park run. That's another Paul. Tall Paul, we call him. So you're at the Marley Park park run this Saturday morning, 9:30, yourself and David Gillick.
That's correct.
Yes, and you won't be running.
Because
you're injured,
volunteering.
You're injured again.
Well, I have arthritis. I think it's an old age problem, really. Right. I have arthritis in the leg. So I can run, but I ran last week and I think I'm a little bit sore at the moment. So I'll be volunteering and I'll be looking forward to saying hello to everybody.
Yeah. It's the simplicity of it, isn't it?
Today
what we're going to do, we're going to organise a free 5K run every Saturday morning at 9:30. It has to be 9:30 and it's every Saturday. Yeah, good luck with that. And now it's global.
It's quite crazy, isn't
yeah.
it? It's
yeah.
lovely. I mean, the simplicity of it is the key.
Yeah.
And then the love that the volunteers have just make it shine, just really bright.
And of course, there's the junior park run as well.
Yes, I think that's probably one of our most valuable interventions. We're teaching young people that they can run. And it's something that when you learn as a kid, you'll take with you throughout life. Even if you stop running for 20 years, you'll find it again later on in life. And it's as important as riding a bicycle or learning to swim.
Here's a question for you, controversial question. Do you think now that it's changed this emphasis, you know, because you came to it as a runner
mm-hmm.
and you were a good runner, do you ever go, maybe if run wasn't in the title? Because you can put some people off, can it?
Well, remember, when we started, we called ourselves a time trial.
Yes, yes.
So imagine how so off-putting that must be.
Yeah, I've solved it along the way.
No. I understand that is still a barrier to some people. Some people think it's only a run.
Yeah.
But we're doing more and more to advise people that park walk is a thing.
And here's the thing. When I first spoke to Matt Shields, who was running Park Run in Ireland, that could be about, I'd say, 11 or 12 years ago, he was saying that there was no commercial. And yet now you've a sponsor. So that changed as well along the way, did it?
Well, these things don't happen for free.
Yeah.
We have an organization and we're across the world, so 70-odd employees. And every time we deliver a new park run or a new country, it costs us money.
Yeah.
But the benefit is that we're now changing more people's lives. We're adding more health and well-being. So that's the conundrum that we face. Our biggest threat is finances.
Okay.
And
so in each country, like in Ireland, you're sponsored by VHI. So in each country, you have a different sponsor.
Yeah, and in some countries, multiple sponsors.
Okay.
And in some countries, no sponsors.
Right.
So where the country is immature, we will have no sponsors. But where it's mature, we will have developed a way to generate an income. We also sell product, the apricot product that comes with Parkrun. And in fact, that is becoming a really important...
So merch.
Yeah,
merch.
That's an important thing. And I think it generated about £500,000 last year.
Okay.
So it's starting to become really important.
So two things before we let you go. There's people who do, are they called alphabeteers?
Alphabeteers, yes.
Yeah, so explain that.
So you run a park run that starts with a letter of the alphabet and you try and tick off every single letter of the alphabet. So Albert Park,
yes.
Bushy Park,
right.
Something, a car.
That's all very well until you get the X.
Well, we have no X.
No X, there's no X.
X. We're not in China. So
right, there's no X's, right.
But the big challenge tends to be Z. And now, because we're in Holland, there are a number of Z parkruns.
So, right.
So people are touring to Germany and Holland to go and get their Z.
And then there are people who don't care too much about the alphabet, but they just, when they're on holidays, they find
yes.
the park run and they, yeah. And then they've this, because I've eavesdropped on numerous conversations, that's the best one,
Yeah.
You know? Like a lot of people would say that Bear Island.
I loved Bear Island.
Yeah, is a beautiful one.
I started by a chap called John who died last year, I'm afraid, and a real tragedy. We really miss him. But Bear Island is very, very special. 250 inhabitants, and I think they're all registered to parkrun.
Amazing. And what's the oldest one in Ireland?
Actually, the first was Northern Ireland, which was Waterworks, and I think the oldest is Marley.
Marley, yeah.
In Ireland.
Yeah, right. Just to say that it's lovely to hear Paul Sinton Hewitt on the radio. My life has changed so much after getting involved with Parkrun nearly 8 years ago. It's been an incredible experience to take part, volunteer, and meet so many new people around the world. That's Dan, Tralee Parkrun. Probably met Dan last year. And don't forget the Junior Parkrun every Sunday. Our granddaughters aged 8 and 7 participate. That's Catherine. Paul, lovely to meet you again.
That's great.
And thanks again. Thank you so much.
Thank you to everybody.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.